Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
I think it's on.
Okay. Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
It's good to see all of you. Welcome to the 90-Day Bible Challenge. We are reading the Bible in 90 days. It's exciting. We are in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. We're going to close out Numbers today and add to that the beginning of Deuteronomy. My name is Jared McAkron. This is my wife, Candace McAkron.
Candace. Hello.
And we are so excited to jump in. Hey, everyone that's watching. Good to see you. We are privileged to read God's word together. After my last time I read God's word, Isaiah asked if I could have a buddy so that could keep me focused and online. Actually, he didn't, but I just wanted my wife to join me today. And then we're going to kick off with verse number 20 of Numbers chapter 32. And we are using the Bible app, YouVersion. So if you type in and you want to follow along, we are on day 13. And we are in Numbers chapter 32. And Candace is going to start reading first.
Then Moses said, sorry, our screen went black. Then Moses said, if you keep your word and arm yourselves for the Lord's battle, and if your troops cross the Jordan and keep fighting until the Lord has driven out his enemies, then you may return when the Lord has conquered the land. You will have fulfilled your duty to the Lord and to the rest of the people of Israel, and the land on the east side of the Jordan will be your property from the Lord. For if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out.
Strong word.
Go ahead and build towns for your families and pens for your flocks, but do everything you have promised. Then the men of Gad and Reuben replied, we, your servants, will follow your instructions exactly. Our children, wives, flocks, and cattle will stay here in the towns of Gilead. But all who are able to bear arms will cross over to fight for the Lord, just as you have said. So Moses gave orders to Eleazar, the priest, Joshua, son of Nun.
We just adjusted the mic. Let us know if it's better.
And the leaders of the clans of Israel. He said, the men of Gad and Reuben, who are armed for battle, must cross the Jordan with you to fight for the Lord. If they do, give them the land of Gilead as their property when the land is conquered. But if they refuse to arm themselves and cross over with you, then they must accept land with the rest of you in the land of Canaan. The tribes of Gad and Reuben said again, we are your servants, and we will do as the Lord has commanded. We will cross the Jordan in Canaan, fully armed to fight for the Lord, but our property will be here on this side of the Jordan. So Moses assigned the land to the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph. He gave them the territory of King Sihon, I think, of the Amorites, and the land of the king Og of Bashan, the whole land with its cities and surrounding lands. The descendants of Gad built the towns of Dibon, Ataroth, Aror, Ataroth, Shofar, Fan. I need Talia here so she can read these better for me. Jazer, Jogbeha, Beth Nimra, and Beth Haran. I got that one, Beth Haran. These were all fortified towns with pens for their flocks. The descendants of Reuben built the towns of Heshbon, Elealeh, Kiriath. Are you guys all laughing at me right now? Kiriathaim, Nebo, Baal Meon, and Sibma. They changed the names of some of the towns they conquered and rebuilt. Then the descendants of Machir of the tribe of Manasseh went to Gilead and conquered it. And they drove out the Amorites living there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, descendants of Manasseh, and they settled there. The people of Jair, another clan of the tribe of Manasseh, captured many of the towns in Gilead and changed the name of that region to the towns of Jar. Let's just say that. Meanwhile, a man named Nobah, captured the town of Kenath and its surrounding villages, and he renamed that area Nobah after himself. Chapter 33. Do you want me to read this one, or are you going to? Okay. This is the route the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. These are the stages of their march, identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. They set out from the city of Ramses in early spring on the 15th day of the first month, on the morning after the first Passover celebration. The people of Israel left defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians. Meanwhile, the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn sons, whom the Lord had killed the night before. The Lord had defeated the gods of Egypt that night with great acts of judgment. After leaving Ramses, the Israelites set up camp at Succoth. Then they left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. They left Etham and turned back toward Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon, and camped near Migdal. They left Pihahiroth and crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness beyond. You guys, this is funny when I read them. Okay. Then they traveled for 3 days into the Etham wilderness and camped at Marah. They left Marah and camped at Elam.
I'm glad you chose this chapter.
Oh, gosh, you guys. Where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They left Elam and camped beside the Red Sea. They left the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They left the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophka. Good thing they left the wilderness of Sin, guys. They left Dophka and camped at Alush. They left Alush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They left Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They left the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth-Hattaavah. Stop making me laugh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I think I got that one good.
Yeah,
Kibroth-Hattaavah.
Yeah.
They left Kibroth-Hattaavah and camped at Hazeroth. And they left Hazeroth and camped at Rithma. They left Rithma and camped at Ramon Perez. They left at Ramon Perez and camped at Libna. You guys, God kept track of where they went. He's keeping track of where you go. So you better watch out where your foot is stepping.
Sister, just focus on the reading.
Watch out where your foot goes. They left Libna and camped at Risha. They left Risha and camped at Kehelatha. They left Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shefer. You guys, this might be an issue. Maybe he needs to go over there so he's not laughing at me.
No, I'm just here for your support.
They left Mount Shefer and camped at Harada. They left Harada and camped at Machiloth. They left Machiloth and camped at Tehath. They left Tehath and camped at Tara. They left Tara and camped at Michka. They left Michka and camped at Hashmona. They left Hashmona and camped at Moseroth. They left Moseroth and camped at Benjakan. They left Benjakan and camped at Hor Haggid. How did they name these places, guys?
I think it's Star Wars Haggid
God. They left Hor HaGidgad and camped at Jotbatha. They left Jotbatha and camped at Abranah. They left Abranah and camped at Ezion Geber, and they left Ezion Geber and camped at Kadesh. Oh, I know Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. They left Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor and at the border of Edom. While they were at the foot of Mount Hor, Aaron the priest was directed by the Lord to go up the mountain, and there he died. This happened in the midsummer on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year after Israel's departure from Egypt. Aaron was 123 years old when he died there on Mount Hor. At that time, the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev in the land of Canaan, heard that the people of Israel were approaching his land. Meanwhile, the Israelites left Mount Hor and camped at Zalmanah. Then they left Zalmanah and camped at Punon. They left Punon and camped at Oboth. They left Oboth and camped at Lai-Abarim on the border of Moab. They left Lai-Abarim and camped at Dibon-Gad. They left Dibon-Gad and camped at Almon-Diblathaim. They left Almon-Diblathaim and camped in the mountain east of the river near Mount Nebo. They left the mountains east of the river and camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho. Along the Jordan River, they camped from Beth Jeshimoth as far as the meadows of Acacia on the plains of Moab. While they were camped near the Jordan River, everyone, on the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all of the people living there. You must destroy all their carved and molten images and demolish all their pagan shrines. Take possession of the land and settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. You must distribute the land among the clans so by sacred lot and in proportion to their size. A larger portion of the land will be allotted to each of the larger clans, and a smaller portion will be allotted to each of the smaller clans. The decision of the sacred lot is final. In this way, the portions of the land will be divided among your ancestral tribes. But if you fail to drive out the people who live in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides." Ooh. "They will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I had planned to do to them." I don't want that to happen to me.
No. Very good. Chapter 34. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give these instructions to the Israelites. When you come into the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as your special possession, these will be the boundaries. The southern portion of your country will extend from the wilderness of Zin along the edge of Edom. The southern boundary will begin on the east side of the dead. On the east of the Dead Sea. It will then run south past Scorpion Pass." I didn't even know that was in the Bible.
I didn't either.
"In the direction of Zin, its southernmost point will be Kadesh Barnea, from which it will go to Hazar Adar and to Amazon." Just kidding, it's Asmon. "From Asmon, the boundary will turn toward the Brook of Egypt and the end of the Mediterranean Sea. Your western boundary will be the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. Your northern boundary will begin at the Mediterranean Sea." Thank you. "And run east to Mount Hor, then to Lebo Hamath, and on through Zadad and Ziphron to Hazarenon. This will be your northern boundary. The eastern boundary will start at Hazar Enon and run south to Shephon, then down to," pardon me, "Riblah on the east side of Ain. From there, the boundary will run down along the eastern edge of the Sea of Galilee and then along the Jordan River to the Dead Sea. These are the boundaries of your land." Then Moses told the Israelites, This territory is the homeland you are to divide among yourselves by sacred lot. The Lord has commanded that the land be divided among the 9.5 remaining tribes. the families of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, have already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan River, across from the across from Jericho toward the sunrise. Can I just pause for a second? East side of the Jordan River was the wrong side of the promised land. They had people that said, we'll go and help you take over the territory, but we're going to live on this side of the Jordan, which was wrong. Why would you want to settle on the wrong side of your promise? Just a little hashtag for you.
Don't want to do that.
No, we don't. All right, verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun are the men designated to divide the grants of land among the people. Enlist one leader from each tribe to help them with the task. These are the tribes and the names of these leaders. Tribe of Judah, the leader was Caleb. Tribe of Simeon, the leader was Shemuel. The tribe of Benjamin, the leader was Eliadad. Dan, the leader was Buki. Manasseh, the leader was Haniel. Ephraim, the leader was Kemuel. Zebulun, the leader was Elizaphan. Issachar, the leader was Pelatiel. Asher, Ahihud. Naphtali, Pethahel. These are the men the Lord appointed to divide the grants of land in Canaan among the Israelites. Candace.
Oh, already my turn again. Wow, you got a short chapter there. You didn't have as many hard names. Okay. Chapter 35. While Israel was camped beside the Jordan on the plains of Moab, across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel to give to the Levites from their property certain towns to live in, along with the surrounding pasture lands. These towns will be for the Levites to live in, and the surrounding lands will provide pasture for their cattle, flocks, and other livestock. The pasture land assigned to the Levites around these towns will extend 1,500 feet from the town walls in every direction, measuring off 3,000 feet outside the town walls in every direction, east, south, west, and north. I'm used to saying north, south, east, and west, you know, but
I hear you.
With the town at the center, this area will serve as the larger pasture land for the towns. Six of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge, where a person who has accidentally killed someone can flee for safety. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, 48 towns with the surrounding pasture land will be given to the Levites. These towns will come from the property of the people of Israel. The larger tribes will give more towns to the Levites, while the smaller tribes will give fewer. Each tribe will give property in proportion to the size of its land. Cities of refuge. The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, designate cities of refuge to which people can flee if they have killed someone accidentally. These cities will be places of protection from a dead person's relatives who want to avenge the death. The slayer must not be put to death before being tried by the community. Designate six cities of refuge for yourselves. Three on the east side of the Jordan River and three on the west side in the land of Canaan. These cities are for the protection of Israelites, foreigners living among you, and traveling merchants. Anyone who accidentally kills someone may flee there for safety. But if someone strikes and kills another person with a piece of iron, it is murder, and the murder must be executed. The murderer must be executed. Or if someone with a stone in his hand strikes and kills another person, it is murder, and the murderer must be put to death. Or if someone strikes and kills another person with a wooden object, it is murder, and the murderer must be put to death. The victim's nearest relative is responsible for putting the murderer to death. That's really sad.
I agree.
That's hard. When they meet the avenger, the avenger must put the murderer to death. So if someone hates another person and waits in ambush, then pushes him or throws something at him and he dies, it is murder. Or if someone hates another person and hits him with a fist and he dies, it is murder. In such cases, the avenger must put the murderer to death when they meet. But suppose someone pushes another person without having shown previous hostility, or throws something that unintentionally hits another person, or accidentally drops a huge stone on someone, though they were not enemies, and the person dies. If this should happen, the community must follow these regulations in making a judgment between the slayer and the avenger, the victim's nearest relative. The community must protect the slayer from the avenger and must escort the slayer back to live in the city of refuge to which he fled. There he must remain until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the sacred oil. But if the slayer ever leaves the limits of the city of refuge and the avenger finds himself outside the city and kills him, it will not be considered murder. The slayer should have slayed inside the city of refuge until the death stayed. Sorry, the slayer should have stayed inside the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer must return to his own property. These are legal requirements for you to observe from generation to generation, whoever or wherever you may live. All murderers must be put to death, but only if evidence is presented by more than one witness. No one may be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Also, you must never accept a ransom payment for the life of someone judged guilty of murder and subject to execution. Murderers must always be put to death, and never accept a ransom payment from someone who has fled to a city of refuge, allowing a slayer to return to his property before the death of the high priest. This will ensure that the land where you live will not be polluted, for murder pollutes the land, and no sacrifice except the execution of the murderer can purify the land from murder. You must not defile the land where you live, for I live there myself. I am the Lord who lives among the people of Israel.
Keep going, you're doing good.
Oh, okay, let me adjust. Okay. Women who inherit property. Yes, let's go, Lord. Come on, raise your hand, women. 36. Then the heads of the clans of Gilead, descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, came to Moses and the family leaders of Israel with a petition. They said, "Sir, the Lord instructed you to divide the land by sacred lot among the people of Israel. You were told by the Lord to give the grant of land owned by our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. But if they marry men from another tribe, their grants of land will go with them to the tribe into which they marry. In this way, the total area of our tribal land will be reduced. Then, when the year of Jubilee comes, their portion of land will be added to that of the new tribe, causing it to be lost forever to our ancestral tribe." So Moses gave the Israelites this command from the Lord: "The claim of the men of the tribe of Joseph is legitimate. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry anyone." Hold on, move it all the way to the top. "Let them marry anyone they like, as long as it is within their own ancestral tribe. None of their territory land may pass from tribe to tribe, for all the land given to each tribe must remain within the tribe to which it was first allotted. The daughters throughout the tribes of Israel who are in the line to inherit property must marry within their tribe, so that all the Israelites will keep their ancestral property. No grant of land may pass from one tribe to another. Each tribe of Israel must keep its allotted portion of land. The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, all married cousins on their father's side. They married into the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. Thus, their inheritance of the land remained within their ancestral tribe. These are the commands and regulations that the Lord gave to the people of Israel through Moses while they were camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho.
All right.
You guys, we did it. Now we're at Deuteronomy.
Okay. Are we ready to start a new chapter? A new book, right? This is a new book.
Uh-huh.
All right. Here we go.
We finished Numbers. On to Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy chapter 1. We got to get close, babe.
Yeah, we got to show ourselves.
Here we go. These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel. Let me get everything adjusted here. To all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness east of the Jordan River. They were camped in the Jordan Valley near Suf between Paran on one side and Tophel, Laban, Hazarah, and Dizahab on the other. Normally, it takes only 11 days. Check this out, everybody. Normally, it only takes 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by the way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. This took place after he had defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon and at Edrei had defeated King Og of Bashan, who ruled in Ashrothah. While the Israelites were in the land of Moab, east of the Jordan River, Moses carefully explained the Lord's instructions as follow. Listen, you guys, if a test is only supposed to take 11 days, don't prolong it. I just pray to the Lord. Lord, help me to pass the test. If it's supposed to be days, help it not to exceed years. Mm-hmm. I want to learn what Israel did. I mean, if it should have took days and it took them years, I don't want to be a stubborn learner. I want to grow quick. So God, make me a quick learner. Help me to pass the test and help me to know when you're saying go left, go right, stop, mm-hmm. or start again. And God will answer that prayer. The command to leave Mount Sinai. When we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. What a word from the Lord. He said, you've been here way too long. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighboring regions, the Jordan Valley, the hill country, the western foothills, the Negev, and the coastal plain. Go to the land of Canaan, of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, all the way to the great Euphrates River. Look, I am giving you all this land right now. I'm giving all this land to you. Go in and occupy it. I hear the word of the Lord. It is time. Go take that land. For it is the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all of their descendants. Moses continued, at that time, I told you, you are too great a burden for me to carry all by myself. The Lord your God, that's the way you feel. The Lord your God has increased your population, making you as numerous as the stars. And may the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised. But you are such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering? Choose some well-respected men from each tribe who are known for their wisdom and understanding, and I will appoint them as leaders. Should be the same pattern today. Then you responded, your plan is a good one. So I took the wise and respected men you had selected from your tribes and appointed them to serve as judges and officials over you. Some were responsible for 1,000 people, some for 100, some for 50, and some for 10. At that time, I instructed the judges, you must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Hear the cases of those who are poor as well as those who are rich. Don't be afraid of anyone's anger, for the decision you make is God's decision. Bring me any cases that are too difficult for you, and I will handle them. At that time, I gave you instructions about everything you were to do. Man, that's pretty intense. I mean, he's like, your decision is God's decision. That's a sobriety right there. Scouts explore the land. Then, just as the Lord our God commanded us, we left Mount Sinai and traveled through the great and terrifying wilderness, as you yourselves remember, and headed toward the hill country of the Amorites. When we arrived at Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, you have now reached the hill country of the Amorites that the Lord our God is giving us. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Isn't that interesting? It's the same word that Joshua received when he was about to take the promised land. God spoke the same thing. Little deja vu. But you all came to me and said, first, let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. Then they will advise us on the best route to take and which towns we should enter. This seemed like a good idea to me, so I chose 12 scouts, one from each of your tribes. They headed for the hill country and came to the Valley of Eshkol and explored it. They picked some of its fruit and brought it back to us. And they reported, the land the Lord our God has given us is indeed a good land. What happened after that, Candace? But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to go in. You complained in your tents and said, the Lord must hate us. That's why he has brought us here from Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to be slaughtered. Where can we go? Our brothers have demoralized us with their report. They tell us, the people of the land are taller and more powerful than we are, and their towns are large, with walls rising into the sky. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But I said to you, don't be shocked or afraid of them. The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you, just as you saw him do in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you along the way, all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness. Just as a father cares for his child, now he has brought you into this place. But even after all he did, you refused to trust the Lord your God, who goes before you looking for the best places to camp, guiding you with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. When the Lord heard your complaining, he became very angry. So he solemnly swore, not one of you from this wicked generation will live to see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephthah. He will see this land because he has... Yeah, I think that's...
Jephthah.
Yes, I think that was him. He will see this land because he has followed the Lord completely. I will give to him and his descendants some of the very land he explored during his scouting mission. And the Lord was also angry with me because of you. He said to me, Moses, not even you will enter the promised land. Ooh. Listen, no leader is exempt. If you complain, if you don't believe the Lord, those things matter to God. So let's be people of faith. Instead, your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will lead the people into the land. Encourage him, for he will lead Israel as they take possession of it. I will give the land to your little ones, your innocent children. You were afraid they would be captured, but they will be the ones who occupy it. As for you, turn around now and go on back through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Then you confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it, as the Lord our God has commanded us. So your men strapped on their weapons, thinking it would be easy to attack the hill country. But the Lord told me to tell you, do not attack, for I am not with you. If you go ahead on your own, you will be crushed by your enemies. This is what I told you, but you would not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went into the hill country. God resists the proud. Mm-hmm. He is resistant and pride repels him. Mm-hmm. But the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased and battered you all the way from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but he refused to listen. So you stayed there at Kadesh for a long time.
Chapter 2. Remembering Israel's wanderings. Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me, and we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. Then at last, the Lord said to me, "You have been wandering around in this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Give these orders to the people. You will pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites, and the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. The Edomites will feel threatened, so be careful. Do not bother them, for I have given them all the hill country around Mount Seir as their property, and I will not give you even one square foot of their land. If you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. So we bypassed the territory of our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. We avoided the road through the Arabah Valley that comes up from Eloth and Ezion-Geber. Then as we turned north along the desert route through Moab, the Lord warned us, do not bother the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, or start a war with them. I have given them Ar as their property, and I will not give you any of their land. A race of giants called the Emites had once lived in the area of Ar. They were as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, another race of giants. Both the Emites and the Anakites are also known as the Rephites, though the Moabites call them Emites. In earlier times, the Horites had lived in Seir, but they were driven out and displaced by the descendants of Esau, just as Israel drove out the people of Canaan when the Lord gave Israel their land. Moses continued, then the Lord said to us, get moving, cross the Zered Brook. So we crossed the brook. 38 years passed from the time we first left Kadesh Barnea until we finally crossed the Zered Brook. By then, all the men old enough to fight in battle had died in the wilderness, as the Lord had vowed would happen. The Lord struck them down until they had all been eliminated from the community. When all the men of fighting age had died, the Lord said to me, today you will cross the border of Moab at Ar and enter the land of Ammonites, the descendants of Lot, but do not bother them or start a war with them. I have given the land of Ammon to them as their property, and I will not give you any of their land. That area was once considered the land of the Rephaites who had lived there, though the Ammonites call them Zamzumites. They were also as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, but the Lord destroyed them so that Ammonites could occupy their land. He had done the same for the descendants of Esau who lived in Seir, for he destroyed the Horites so they could settle there in their place. The descendants of Esau lived there to this day. A similar thing happened when the Keftorites from Crete invaded and destroyed the Avites who had lived in villages in the area of Gaza. Moses continued. Then the Lord said, now get moving, cross the Arnon Gorge. Look, I will hand over to you Sihon and Amorite, king of Heshbon, and I will give you his land. Attack him and begin to occupy the land. Beginning today, I will make people throughout the earth terrified because of you. When they hear reports about you, they will tremble with dread and fear. Victory over Sihon of Heshbon. Moses continued, from the wilderness of Kedemoth, I sent ambassadors to King Sihon of Heshbon with this proposal of peace. Let us travel through your land. We will stay on the main road and won't turn off into the fields on either side. Sell us food to eat and water to drink, and we will pay for it. All we want is permission to pass through your land. The descendants of Esau who lived in Seir allowed us to go through their country, and so did the Moabites who live in Ar. Let us pass through until we cross the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us. But King Sihon of Heshbon refused to allow us to pass through because the Lord your God made Sihon stubborn and defiant so he could help you defeat him, as he has now done. Then the Lord said to me, look, I have begun to hand King Sihon and his land over to you. Begin now to conquer and occupy this land. Conquer and occupy. Then King Sihon declared war on us and mobilized his forces at Jahaz. But the Lord our God handed him over to us, and we crushed him, his sons, and all his people. We conquered all his towns and completely destroyed everyone, men, women, and children. Not a single person was spared. We took all the livestock as plunder for ourselves, along with anything of value from the towns we ransacked. The Lord our God also helped us conquer Aroer on the edge of Arnon Gorge, and the town in the gorge, and the whole area as far as Gilead. No town had walls too strong for us. However, we avoided the land of the Ammonites all along the Jabbok River and the towns in the hill country, all the places the Lord our God had commanded us to leave alone.
Chapter 3. Next, we turned and headed for the land of Bashan, where King Og and his entire army attacked us at Edrei. But the Lord told me, do not be afraid of him, for I have given you victory over Og and his entire army, and I will give you all his land. Treat him just as you treated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon. So the Lord our God handed King Og and his people over to us, and he killed them all. Not a single person survived. We conquered all 60 of his towns, the entire Argob region in the kingdom of Bashan. Not a single town escaped our conquest. These towns were all fortified with high walls and barred gates. We also took many unwalled villages at the same time. We completely destroyed the kingdom of Bashan, just as we had destroyed King Sihon of Heshbon. We destroyed all the people in every town we conquered, men, women, and children alike. But we kept all the livestock for ourselves and took plunder from all the towns. So we took the land of the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, all the way from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, that's in California. Well, it's not, but it's a
there's
camp.
There's a
camp. Mount Hermon is called Siron by the Sidonians, and the Amorites call it Senir. We had now conquered all the cities on the plateau and all Gilead and Bashan, as far as the towns of Salika and Edrei, which were part of Og's kingdom in Bashan. King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephites. His bed was made of iron, and he was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. I didn't even know this was in the Bible. This is incredible. It can still be seen in the Ammonite city of Rabbah. Wow. Land division.
That's huge. 13 feet long and 6 feet wide.
It's a giant
bed.
When we took possession of the land, I gave to the tribes of Reuben and Gad this territory beyond Aroer among the Arnon Gorge, plus half of the hill country of Gilead with its towns. Then I gave the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, Og's former kingdom, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. The entire Argob region of Bashan used to be known as the land of the Rephites. Jair, a leader from the tribe of Manasseh, conquered the whole Argob region in Bashan, all the way to the border of the Gershurites and Maacathites. Jer renamed this region after himself, calling it the town of Jer, as it is still known today. I gave Gilead to the clan of Machir, but I also gave part of Gilead to the tribes of Reuben and Gad. The area I gave them extended from the middle of the Arnon Gorge in the south of the Jabbok River on the Ammonite frontier. They also received the Jordan Valley all the way from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, with the Jordan River serving as the western boundary. To the east were the slopes of Pisgah. At that time, I gave this command to the tribes that would live east of the Jordan. Although, did I just try to sound
say a
out?
Weird word,
I just
yeah.
tried to say a weird king name, and the word was Al. I can't even say it. Although the Lord your God has given you this land as your property, all your fighting men must cross the Jordan ahead of your Israelite relatives, armed and ready to assist them. Your wives, children, and numerous livestock, however, may stay behind in the towns I have given you. When the Lord has given security to the rest of the Israelites, as he has to you, and when you occupy the land your God is giving them across the Jordan River, then you may all return here to the land I have given you. At that time, I gave Joshua this charge. You have seen for yourself everything the Lord your God has done to these two kings. He will do the same to all the kingdoms on the west side of the Jordan. Do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord your God will fight for you. Praise him. At that time, I pleaded with the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, you have only begun to show your greatness and strength of your hand to me, your servant. Is there any God in heaven or on earth who can perform such great and mighty deeds as you do? Please let me cross the Jordan to see the wonderful land on the other side, the beautiful hill country and the Lebanon mountains. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he would not listen to me. That's enough, he declared. Speak of it no more, but go up to Pisgah Peak and look over the land in every direction. Take a good look, but you may not cross the Jordan River. Instead, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan River. He will give them all the land you now see before you as their possession. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Chapter 4.
Are you going to keep going? Or?
I don't think so.
Chapter 4. Moses urges Israel to obey. And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live. Obey them so that you may live. So you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to or subtract from these commands I am giving you. Just obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you. You saw for yourself what the Lord did to you at Baal Peor. There the Lord your God destroyed everyone who had worshipped Baal, the god of Peor, but all of you who were faithful to the Lord your God are still alive today, every one of you. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations, just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, "How wise and prudent are the people of this great nation! For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions that I am giving you today? But watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live." Write it down, guys. Build an altar. Make sure you remember, teach your kids and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord, your God, at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while flames from the mountain shot into the sky. The mountain was shrouded in black clouds and deep darkness, and the Lord spoke to you from the heart of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but didn't see his form. There was only a voice. He proclaimed his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to keep and which he wrote on two stone tablets. It was at that time that the Lord commanded me to teach you his decrees and regulations so you would obey them in the land you were about to enter and occupy. A warning against idolatry. But be careful. Be very careful. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the heart of the fire at Mount Sinai. So do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol in any form, whether a man or a woman, an animal on the ground, a bird in the sky, a small animal that scurries along the ground, or a fish in the deepest sea. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshiping them. The Lord your God gave them to all the peoples of the earth. Remember that the Lord rescued you from the iron smelting furnace of Egypt in order to make you his very own people and his special possession, which is what you are today. But the Lord was angry with me because of you. He vowed that I would not cross the Jordan River into the good land the Lord God is giving you as your special possession. You will cross the Jordan to occupy the land, but I will not. Instead, I will die here on the east side of the river. So be careful not to break the covenant the Lord your God has made with you. Do not make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has forbidden this. The Lord your God is a devouring fire. He is a jealous God. In the future, when you have children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, do not corrupt yourselves by making idols of any kind. This is evil in the sight of the Lord your God and will arouse his anger. Today I call on heaven and earth as witnesses against you. If you break my covenant, you will quickly disappear from the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You will live there only a short time. Then you will be utterly destroyed, for the Lord will scatter you among the nations where only a few of you will survive. There in a foreign land, you will worship idols made from wood and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there, you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all of your heart and soul, you will find him. I love that one. I love that verse, verse 29. But from there, you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. In the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. Let's not like have to finally listen and return to the Lord.
Preach.
For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. There is only one God. Now search all of history from the time God created people on the earth until now, and search from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything as great as this ever been seen or heard before? Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from fire as you
did?
Fire and survived? Has any other God dared to take a nation from himself out of another nation by means of trials, miraculous signs, wonders, war, a strong hand, a powerful arm, and terrifying acts? Yet that is what the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, right before your eyes. He showed you these things so you would know that the Lord is God and there is no other. He let you hear his voice from heaven so he could instruct you. He let you see his great fire here on earth so he could speak to you from it. because he loved your ancestors, he chose to bless their descendants, and he personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. He drove out nations far greater than you so he could bring you in and give you their land as your special possession as it is today. So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God, both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. If you obey all the decrees and commands I am giving you today, all will be well with you and your children. I'm giving you these instructions so that you will enjoy a long life in the land your Lord, the Lord your God, is giving you for all of time. Eastern cities of refuge. You gave me a long chapter.
I don't pre-screen anything.
Okay. Then Moses set apart three cities of refuge east of the Jordan River. Anyone who killed another person unintentionally without previous hostility could flee there to live in safety. These were the cities: Bezer on the wilderness plateau from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead for the tribe of Gad, Golan in Bashan for the tribe of Manasseh. Introduction to Moses' second address.
Did you say indigestion?
I don't know what I was going to say. This is the body of instruction that Moses presented to the Israelites. These are the laws, decrees, and regulations that Moses gave to the people of Israel when they left Egypt. And as they camped in the valley near Beth Peor, east of the Jordan River, this land was formerly occupied by the Amorites under King Sihon, who ruled from Heshbon. But Moses and the Israelites destroyed him and his people when they came up from Egypt. Israel took possession of his land and that of King Og of Bashan, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. So Israel conquered the entire area from Aroer at the edge of Arnon Gorge all the way to Mount Sirion, also called Mount Hermon. And they conquered the eastern bank of the Jordan River as far south as the Dead Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. Chapter 10.
No. Chapter 5.
Oh, I read the Ten Commandments. I'm kidding. My eyes getting, are, yeah, the my eyes are getting crossed here.
Getting a little blurry here. Okay. Let's see and get this up
ten
close.
Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments for the covenant community. Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, "Listen carefully, Israel. Hear the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today, so you may learn them and obey them." Then the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Sinai. The Lord did not make this covenant with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. At that mountain, the Lord spoke to you face to face from the heart of the fire. I stood as an intermediary. How do I say that? Intermediary between you and the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not want to approach the mountain. He spoke to me and said, and I passed his words on to you. This is what he said: I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. I just want you guys all to remember what the Lord rescued you from. You can put your own name right there. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from addiction, from atheism, from running the streets, from a life of depravity, the place that you were in slavery and bondage. And this is what the Lord said to them: you must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. I wonder what happens when we accept the Lord. I wonder how that extends. Yeah. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse, man, I want to preach, but I will keep going. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong and powerful arm. This is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's wife. You must not covet your neighbor's house or land, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The Lord spoke these words to all of you assembled there at the foot of the mountain. He spoke with a loud voice from the heart of the fire, surrounded by clouds and deep darkness. This was all he said at that time, and he wrote his words on two stone tablets and gave them to me. But when you heard the voice from the heart of the darkness, while the mountain was blazing with fire, all your tribal leaders and elders came to me. They said, "Look, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice from the heart of the fire. Today we have seen that God can speak to us humans, and yet we live. But now, why should we risk death again? If the Lord our God speaks to us again, we will certainly die and be consumed by this awesome fire. Can any living thing hear the voice of the living God from the heart of the fire as we did and yet survive? Go yourself and listen to what the Lord our God says. Then come and tell us everything he tells you, and we will listen and obey." They're basically like, there was such a fear and reverence. They're like, "Hey, Mo, why don't you just go up to the mountain? You go do your thing. Get the message and come back and relate to us." Like, just the voice of God was shaking them to the core. They were just like, "No, thank you." It's interesting. All right. Where am I at?
The Lord heard their request.
Verse 28. "The Lord heard the request you made to me, and he said, 'I have heard what the people said to you, and they are right. Oh, that they would always have their hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands. If they did, they and their descendants would prosper forever. Go and tell them, return to your tents, but you stand here with me so I can give you all my commands, decrees, and regulations. You must teach them to the people so that they can obey them in the land I am giving them as their possession.' So Moses told the people, 'You must be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, following his instructions in every detail. Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy.'"
Ooh. A call for wholehearted commitment. Chapter 6. "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." You guys, some of you are wondering, why are my kids straying? Why are they off and running? Repeat what the Lord is saying. Command, speak these commandments in your house. Keep sharing about the Lord with your children. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to your bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from the cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from the vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massa. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give you your ancestors. You will drive out all the enemies living in the land, just as the Lord said you would. In the future, your children will ask you, "What is the meaning of all these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey?" Then you must tell them, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land, and he had sworn to give our ancestors. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. For we will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us."
Chapter 7. The Privilege of Holiness. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. That gives me a lot of peace at night. Serving the Lord, knowing that his covenant is extending and my kids are receiving a spiritual inheritance that's going to far outlive any monetary thing I can do for them.
Yeah.
But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Therefore, you must obey all the commands, decrees, and regulations I am giving you today. If you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you. as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give you fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, and you will have large harvests of grain, new wine, and olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. And if it was for us today, lots of eggs that are you can find them. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. You must destroy all the nations the Lord your God hands over to you. Show them no mercy and do not worship their gods, or they will trap you. Perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we even ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember that the Lord your God did it to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it with your own eyes. And remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand and the powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against all the people you fear. And then the Lord your God will send terror to drive out the few survivors still hiding from you. No, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and he is great and an awesome God. The Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you little by little. You will not clear them away all at once. Otherwise, the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. But the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will destroy them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. He will put their kings in your power, and you will erase their names from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. Verse 25, you must burn their idols in fire, and you must not covet the silver or gold that covers them. You must not take it, or it will become a trap to you, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring any detestable objects into your home, for then you will be destroyed just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction. You guys, it's so important that we recognize this right now, that in the days of when the Lord was speaking this, he was telling them, like, you can't even, I know that fire will produce and melt off the gold from the idol, but God was saying, like, you can't even take the gold from that, because idols have a place in our heart that is unhealthy. And if we allow any place of that in our heart, we're still partnering with what we loved about the idol, the shininess, the object. It stole our affection for a reason. So God says, even when you burn those idols, don't even take the substance that's valuable that you could resell. It's just like when God tells you to burn your idols, like your drugs, your alcohol, your pills, and the different things. And you could be like, well, I could resell it, Lord. I could use the money to help further the kingdom. And God's like, let it burn. And God wants to start a bonfire right now. For some of you that are holding on to idolatry, God says, let it burn tonight. Don't wait another day. Let it burn so that its hold will no longer be on your life.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do you know which way? When do we stop?
No, we're supposed to be done.
That's it? Oh, okay. It's just to chapter 8.
Seven.
All right. We did it, you guys. Praise the Lord. Thanks.
Mark off your thing on your phone.
Yep, go there and make all your check boxes, and we will.
We did it. Day 13.
Please make sure to like this stream, and then also make sure you set an alarm for 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every single day. There's no breaks. We're going to plow through the Word of God. And you guys, there is a reward from being in the Word daily. This might be the very first time you complete the whole Bible. So I want to encourage you is keep showing up to the streams, keep liking them, keep sharing them. Sow a seed as well into Isaiah Saldivar's ministry. Keep this ministry going. He's been going strong 5-6 years now and literally reaching the world with the gospel and the good news. Again, my name's Jared. This is my wife, Candace. We have our own YouTube channel. We go live every Monday and Tuesday night after Isaiah's stream. And we just love what God is doing in this ministry. And Isaiah's ministry has certainly blessed us, mm-hmm. helped us, helped our children grow closer to the Lord. Our kids are always watching his videos. And so it's just so awesome that in the world of influence, and there's so many bad influences and influencers that they could be following, they're following a man of God. And so we love what he's doing. We love him hearing the voice of God to do the 90-day Bible challenge, and we're honored to be able to read with you today. I will also be reading Mondays to help him as well. All right, let's say a prayer for everybody that's watching. Father, we just thank you for your word, that it remains true no matter what. So we just ask that your word would be cemented and sealed in our hearts, and we just pray that, God, as we finish out this day, that, God, we would just be reminded of the blessings of following you, God, that you bless 1,000 generations. So we honor you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for making a way for us, and thank you for delivering us, because we were once in bondage too, and you set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys, have a great rest of your day, and Isaiah will be live tomorrow, 2 p.m.
God. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.